Good morning, listeners. It's Dr. Peter speaking. And today I'd like to welcome back Dr. Christina Beer to Medical Matters. Welcome, Chris.
Oh, thanks for having me on the show.
Now, Chris is a general practitioner with a particular interest in lifestyle and preventative medicine. And she's also an author of note. And you're recently publishing your second book.
I am. I am indeed.
Now, today we're going to talk about the liver and... First of all, what is the liver and what does it do, please?
It's probably something that I didn't realise had such a pertinent importance in the health of individuals in general myself, and especially researching to write the second book, which is called Healthy Liver. I realised how important the liver is. So it's an organ, obviously. It's just underneath the right side of the ribs, and it has over 500 functions, would you believe? So its primary role is detoxification of the body. So a lot of the medications that we take has to be processed through the liver. A lot of the food that we eat goes through the liver to once again be processed and packaged. So it deals with proteins and carbohydrates and sugars. And the liver has other functions involved in blood clotting, immune system roles, transport proteins, even cholesterol and sugar balance. So it is extremely important. We can't live without one. And the amazing thing about the liver, it has a huge capacity to regenerate. So you can abuse it, so to speak, to a certain point, and it will regenerate. And many of us probably teeter on the verge of, abuse of our liver for quite some years before we realise there's an issue. And that's where today's topic obviously comes into that, which we were going to discuss, fatty liver disease.
Now, as you pointed out, we only have one liver.
We do.
Have two eyes, we have two ears,
good point.
We have two kidneys, two lungs.
Good point.
And I know that we can live with about a half or a third of one kidney.
True.
So the rest is redundant, but we've only got one liver.
That's very
true. So what is a fatty liver and what causes a fatty liver?
It's very common. 1 in 10 Australians are thought to have fatty liver disease. Fatty liver disease is where the liver becomes clogged up, for want of a better term, with fatty deposits. So much like a marbled piece of meat, it becomes streaked with fatty deposits, which can make it quite inefficient, can impair its function. And if it becomes inflamed, unfortunately, it can lead to complications. So it's very common. Most of us wouldn't even know that we have fatty liver disease, and it's something that can be easily prevented.
Well, if we don't know we've got fatty liver disease, well, how serious is it? What do people present with?
That's a good point. I think, like a lot of chronic diseases, many of us don't realise we have it for years until it starts to cause problems. There's a lot of silent killers out there, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, to name a few. But fatty liver disease isn't something that's overt initially. You more so find out about it when you have a blood test by your local doctor, and then you're told that potentially there might be some fatty liver disease starting. How serious is it? It can lead to serious complications. There is a progression of fatty liver disease in some people, and we don't know who those individuals will be, where it can become hepatitis, which is obviously inflammation of the liver. The liver becomes very inflamed. You can become acutely very unwell. And then cirrhosis of the liver is the end stage of that if it continues to progress, which is scarring of the liver. And that process is irreversible. So cirrhosis is irreversible. Once the liver is cirrhosed or scarred, you can't do anything about it. And this is the extreme end, if it becomes very, very scarred, you're looking at potential liver failure. And that's where people obviously become very unwell.
Now, you gave us a lot of facts.
I did.
let's just go back.
Sure.
Is alcohol the commonest cause of damage to our liver?
It's not the commonest, actually. Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is the commonest cause, which is diet and lifestyle. So it's high carbohydrate, high sugar, high fat sort of diet. A modern-day lifestyle diet, really. The overindulgence diet. But alcohol certainly does play a role in fatty liver disease, the alcoholic fatty liver disease, for sure.
Really? So our diet, take away chips.
Correct. Tim Tams, those sorts of things. The regular things that we're having on a daily basis that we feel probably on their own aren't a big problem. It's the accumulation of things that we're having. So it's the cheeses, and it's the cheese and crackers, and it's the Tim Tams, and then it is the glass of wine or the two or the three that we're having that accumulates, unfortunately, and the liver's got to deal with a lot of that. And the end effect can be fatty deposits in the liver, and as I said, can start to cause issues.
So your doctor has ordered a blood test, yes, and he finds what, some abnormalities in the enzymes?
Or? Yes, yes. So the commonest panel that we would run as a GP once a year or once every 2 years for a checkup would be a liver function test. And as part of that, there would be some elevated enzymes, and people would recognise that by numbers that are highlighted in red on their blood test. And the GP would often give you some, ask you some questions such as, you know, how's your alcohol consumption would be a common question. Have you noticed any symptoms? Are you feeling well? And then your GP would most likely suggest to you some lifestyle changes from that point to see if that can be reversed, because there are several stages. The beginning stage is just a mild elevation in those enzymes, and I see that quite commonly. There is some debate actually, Peter, currently stating that potentially half the people that do have fatty liver disease, it's not caused by anything in particular. It just happens and it won't ever progress and it won't be an issue. But we can't predict who those individuals will be, yes.
So in other words, there are some people, yes, that lead a normal life.
Correct. And still get fatty liver disease. Debatably though, even in those individuals, you can reverse that fatty liver disease, and that, and those, and I have seen this quite commonly when I do suggest some lifestyle changes, and individuals heed that advice. We retest their liver enzymes 3 months later, and they've returned to normal. And their ultrasound of their liver, which I'm sure we'll come to about how to diagnose it properly, looks to be improved. And so there is ways to reverse that.
So with the diagnosis of fatty liver, we've gone into blood tests.
Yes.
And you just mentioned ultrasound. Can you tell, yes, me about what ultrasound does liver involve?
Oh, sure. It's non-painful, and your GP may recommend it if they've noticed that there is a consistent elevation in your liver enzymes over several tests. They may suggest that we image the liver just to find out exactly what is going on, to make sure it is just fatty liver disease or another process, and just like a pregnancy scan, it's the same procedure. We ultrasound the liver and make sure what will come back is enlarged liver if it's fatty liver and fatty streaks within the liver, as I mentioned. And so certainly something that's stage two of the diagnosis, but can help to guide progression as well of treatment and regression.
Now, I remember when I was a student, mm-hmm, and when we used to examine patients, yes, and I imagine that some doctors still do examine patients, we, yes, look for a liver edge.
Yes.
Do people look for a liver edge or is ultrasound sort of?
It's funny, isn't it? I think modern day medicine probably has taken over, and imaging modalities probably are the mainstay with time poor GPs.
Yes.
It's much easier, isn't it, to sometimes refer for an ultrasound or a CAT scan of an organ. But a physical examination should still take, you know, part of the preference in the workup. And yes, so a liver edge, we do feel for a liver edge, and that's where we obviously press the abdomen and try and see if we can feel an enlarged or a tender or a hard or another abnormality of the liver edge, which is hopefully non-painful and should be done, yes. But as you said, sometimes in modern day medicine, it's getting pushed aside, examination skills, unfortunately, these days.
Now, I know this is probably another whole new topic for another day,
okay,
but you mentioned hepatitis.
Yes.
So there's various types of hepatitis. Hepatitis A, B, yes, C, non-A, non-C.
Yes.
I mean, I'm a little bit out of date with this, but
yes,
but just tell my listeners what hepatitis is.
Hepatitis is a general term that refers to inflammation of the liver,
mm-hmm,
and it can be caused by, as I said, steatohepatitis, which is fatty liver hepatitis, or it can be caused by other causes such as viral hepatitis. So viral hepatitis is just one type of hepatitis. Hepatitis is just inflammation of the liver. So hepatitis A, hepatitis B, as you said, C, D, E, I think it's up to G now. But they're different types of hepatitis. They're not what we're talking about here. Obviously, it's two separate types of processes. Hepatitis caused by virus is often very dramatic, causes quite significant illness, much higher enzymes, and a GP looking at a blood test usually can gauge what type of hepatitis it may be just by running a few simple tests.
Now, as you said, the liver has many important functions. Yes. So if it's not working properly,
yes.
I mean, what do people get bruising? Do they get bleeding? I mean, can you just tell me?
They can. I mean, as I said, fatty liver, you're right, Peter. I mean, initially it's asymptomatic, which means there's no symptoms attached. If people continue with fatty liver disease, it can lead to, as I said, the complications of that, which is an impairment of the function of the liver. So some of the things that the liver does, as we mentioned, was detoxification. So people can develop toxin accumulation, they become itchy. Some people have gallbladder issues as a result of even backing up further. So they get the yellowness of the skin, the jaundice. They might get a big bloated tummy full of fluid. The easy bruising can come into that as well, the bleeding of the gums. Some people get little red spots on their skin as well that start to appear. So there's a few things, and spots can be lots of things. So, you know, obviously don't self-diagnose based on just spots, but there's certainly a few things that people feel, fatigue, breath. There's a few different things that people can experience when things are quite at the severe end. Often it doesn't go to that stage before it's picked up. I would rarely see someone first time at that level. It would more be, as you mentioned, alcoholic circumstances, where in the past I've seen individuals with that fulminant hepatitis or fulminant liver failure symptoms. It's more the small daily impairments that I see that are slowly impacting on people's lives. It's interesting because often fatty liver is associated, not always, but often is associated with insulin resistance, which means the weight gain around the tummy. So that's often the symptom that I start to think maybe there's some fatty liver disease going on as well. It's the accumulation of fat deposits around the organs in insulin resistance that leads to organs not working very well. So
this sounds like you advise a fairly dramatic or yes. change in lifestyle.
I do, because that's the only way that I see it getting results. If alcohol is a big part of somebody's life, often we address that first, and I'll ask individuals, like Dry July is coming up, for instance, in July. I'm the ambassador of Dry July this year, which is nice that they've accredited that, but certainly going for a month without alcohol, if you do have elevated liver enzymes, and in particular an elevated ferritin level, which is iron stores, meaning the liver is storing too much iron, it's probably inflamed, try and go a month without alcohol. Now, for some individuals, they would say, well, I don't have a problem with alcohol, it's in moderation. It's just the accumulated effects that cause issues. So it's the everyday, you know, it's the everyday wines, it's the everyday beers, plus all the different nibbles and foods that we have along the way, snack foods. It's the accumulated. So if you take away the largest contributor or the accumulative toxin that's leading to issues, and oftentimes it is alcohol. For others, it's sugar. For others, it's packaged foods, saturated fat, animal fats. So you take away something for a short period of time, normally it's just 4 weeks to see a difference, 4 to 6 weeks, and repeat liver enzymes, you can see exactly what might have been triggering their fatty liver disease in the first place. And certainly individuals do take up that challenge in July, the Dry July.
Now, you said to me you're the ambassador.
I am.
So is that for the state or for the Gold Coast?
For the nation, actually.
For Australia?
Yeah, for Australia.
So we're
expecting
to see your photo.
Apparently, yes. And somewhere in there I've got to have another baby. So we're juggling. But Dry July coming up every year in July, and it actually raises money for cancer. So it's a separate fundraising event, and some individuals are amazing. They either their friends and family are all behind them giving up alcohol, and they've raised thousands and thousands of dollars. But it's certainly a worthy time to trial it anyway in the calendar year.
Yeah. For about 10 years, I used to not drink alcohol in February.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the reason I picked February as the shortest month.
I love your reasoning. I think July, unfortunately, 31 days, isn't it?
So. Every so often you had a 29-day February.
That was
particularly hard.
That was a hard month.
But Dry July. Okay, well, then I'll aim to have a Dry July. That's, as you said, 31 days. Okay. So you hear about these liver detox diets,
yes.
And they're pushed in the media.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about those? Is there any harm in them? Is there any?
I think the harm would come if something was too extreme. One, that you couldn't sustain it long term. I mean, anything that you can't sustain long term screams to me fad diet or screams to me on a lifestyle change that you will get immediate results but you won't be able to maintain. And that can actually be more harmful for the body than good. We know that rapid weight loss or rapid extreme changes can precipitate gallstones. We know that if you've got, you know, fatty liver disease. So you don't want gallstones because you've just decided to change something drastically. I think realistically it's about lifestyle change, and it's boring and nobody wants the slow, hard slog of making some small changes, but certainly that's the most sustainable way. So in the book, obviously, I do give some suggestions about some dietary changes, and it is based on healthy living principles, but it's not a fad, you know, just have water or just have juice or, I mean, those things, they're not necessarily harmful if there's no chronic disease like diabetes that you're contending with, but they're not sustainable, and I certainly don't advocate them in the practice long term for sure, especially not the 30 days that some people do them for.
Now, Christina, I hope that you'd have the book in front of me today that I could tell people. So how far away is the book?
It's hot off the press in 6 weeks, actually.
In six weeks.
So it's, yeah, it's and Healthy it's Liver, it's called.
The Healthy Liver by Healthy. Dr. Christina Beer.
It is. Chris Beer, I think.
Chris Beer.
Yes, yes.
And it's going to be in most shops or most?
It'd be hopefully in Big W is the main place, and then online, and then it will also be available through my website as well, which is drchris.com.au. Some people are choosing the Kindle version, the online books these days, and certainly it'd be available that way as well.
Now, is it aimed at the average person? I mean, you don't need to have a medical degree to read this book, I take it.
No, not at all. It's written in layman's terms for anyone that feels that they want to improve their life in terms of their liver health and feel better about themselves. Generally, the population that we're aiming for are those individuals just like us, busy working. You know, we don't have time to really look after ourselves. So it's the working families or it's the retirees, and you've got other things that you're focusing on, like grandchildren. So it's written with those, you know, that demographic in mind.
Now, there are some people who will read a book cover to cover, and yes, there are other people who will skim it or read pages. Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to read chapters in this book and go back to it all?
I believe so. It's written in sections.
Okay.
And so for the skimmers, I think you'd be able to pick and choose and go straight to the, you know, what do I need to do, which is the 7-day, you know, liver program. I think you could do that. But if you wanted the full picture, then you would obviously read it cover to cover. I haven't – it's not hard reading, put it that way. There's no medical terminology, so hopefully people find it an interesting read.
Thank you very much for coming on Medical Matters, and we look forward I look forward to reading your book. Not skimming it, but to reading your book. Thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you.